What are you trying to find? I have my phone.
Oh, yeah. The word chief of sinners.
Search very far for that. Who made it first? Then I'm looking at one. Brandon's in myself. I got it. Just a little lift. But it is good. Still studying exchanging gods.
1 Timothy 1:15.
All right, let's go there.
First
Timothy, chapter 1. Let's start in verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Everybody there? Let's go on. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He doesn't say he was the chief. He says, I am the chief of sinners. That's the best that he could say about himself. Why? Anybody know why he said that?
He didn't believe.
Hmm?
He didn't believe who Christ was until this took place.
But he didn't say I was the chief of sinners. He said I am the chief of sinners.
This is years after years after Damascus Road experience.
Yeah, this was.
Right. It's almost like he has some sort of authority over the people because he's writing to them. And if everyone's a sinner, then he's sort of a person with authority over sinners.
But he's the chief of sinners. He doesn't say I was. That's what we would say.
Yeah.
He said, I am the chief of sinners. And this was 40 years, no, maybe not 40, but it was at least 20-some years after his conversion experience.
He probably was one of the first truly zealous, passionate followers, believers, that truly understood his death. I think a lot of people didn't understand it. Maybe that's why he spoke so clearly.
It almost sounds like an affectation. Like, oh, I'm the worst of this, even though he's really not.
No, he was the chief of sinners, and there's no question.
You're saying it says that he is.
I know. And that's the point. You can never say anything more about yourself other than you're the chief of sinners. You have to know that you're the chief of sinners. If you don't know that, you're deceived.
And how did he know that? And very few. Early on.
Well, do you understand what he did?
I don't totally know his life.
All right. He was, in essence, the prosecuting attorney for Stephen's death.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's...
He was a member, or at least an employee of the Sanhedrin. He was as good as it gets in that world. He killed any number of believers. We don't know how many. But he was... that was in the Jerusalem area, Judea, I should say. And then he was on his way to do the same in Syria. Because the Syrian church, they called it the church at Antioch, became the chief center after the destruction of the temple. But he killed any number of people. Had some of the believers were literally skinned. Well, let's do something. I gotta find it now.
Now that what you just said,
he was involved. All right, these are the apostles. Let's talk about them. All of the apostles were insulted by the enemies of their master. They were called to seal their doctrines with their blood, and nobly did they bear the trial. Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword in a distant city of Ethiopia. Mark died at Alexandria in Egypt. Excuse me. He was literally on the back of a chariot tied, and the chariot raced through the city of Alexandria, which is like the biggest city in at that time. It was the biggest city in Egypt. It was the port city, but it was a lot of... Well, anyway, I'll take forever if I do that. Luke was hanged on a tree in the land of Greece. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward. James the Greater was beheaded in Jerusalem. James the Less, not that he's less, but he's younger, was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew was skinned alive. Andrew was bound to a cross, where he preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was won through the body with a lance in East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death at Thessaloniki. Paul, after various tortures and persecutions, was at length beheaded in Rome by the Emperor Nero. Such was the fate of the apostles. Now, you got to understand, they were alone when they were... they didn't have a community. Maybe they did, but small ones. But they were effectively alone. And all they would have had to have done is just... Christ died so you could be healthy, or Christ died so you could be rich, or Christ died so you could get this stuff. That's all they would have had to say. And they'd have just been considered another... But here... because they preached your death in order to have a resurrection, then that was... they became hated of all men.
Were they all killed because they committed treason against the Roman Empire? Was that part of it?
The Roman law was so weird back then, but... For many centuries, well, maybe not centuries, many years, one of the early rabbis in the dealing with Rome had a... the rabbi went to the Roman emperor, I forgot which one, and made a deal with him. He said, we believe in a different God than you do, or than your gods, but we promise that we will always pray for the emperor. And so, in the beginning, Christians were just considered another sect of the Jews, and they weren't persecuted, just like the Jews weren't at that time. But in AD 64, when Rome burned, the Christians went out and threw all of their belongings, their clothes, their money, even furniture, whatever, threw it on the fire. And so they were accused of starting the fire. And then the persecution became total against both the Christians and the Jews, because they considered the Jews, I mean the Christians, just a sect of Judaism.
Threw their belongings on a fire?
Because they thought it was the end of the world. And it's available somewhere, probably in that Antichrist machine, the actual law that was passed for the whole Roman Empire that made the Jews and Christians enemies of the Roman Empire. One of the more interesting things to me is that I think that all sitting in one place in that chair yesterday took more out of me than I know or knew. What was I just saying? I'm sorry. Oh, this is why they were first called Christians at Antioch. It was at Antioch where the first law was. They weren't called Christians by themselves. They were called Christians by the Roman law. And Antioch was a Roman emperor. I mean, was a part of the empire in Syria. And so that was the first time that the law was passed on a local basis, and then shortly thereafter it became universal all over the Roman Empire. And it continued. I mean, I've been reading the Book of Martyrs and all the early writings I can find. Martyrdom was common. But just for a second, if what you believe was spread abroad, do you understand that if you believe what I preach was spread abroad, then you too would be hated of all men? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, is an enemy of everything in the world. It's contradictory to every form of thought there is in the world. And so, it's not, it says plainly that if you're his believer, you'll be hated of all men. They'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. That's pretty strong. So it's kind of to test what you believe. Or just another one of many options about religion. Doesn't matter. That's essentially what is taught. Just one of many competing religions, but all religions lead to God, supposedly. But you certainly haven't been hated because you're a believer. Now you're accepted as a part of the political system. And none of them would ever think to say that, you know, they're better than anybody else. They were servants to all.
That's the tie-in with what Paul said. He was a chief of sinners.
Right.
He in fact, did have a pedigree with his...
Well, let's read.
In the Hebrew.
Yeah, let's read Philippians 2. We'll get we've got sidetracked here. I think it's 2, but it might be 3. I can't remember. Yeah, it's 3. Let's start in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Then he talks about what to be careful of. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Now what is that? Beware of dogs. Well, let's start again. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Anybody? What is dog? Why say beware of dogs?
I don't think he's talking about hypocrites. I think he's talking about just blatant.
Weren't the dogs at that time in the temple, the male prostitutes or something like that?
Yeah, the in other parts of the scripture, the dogs are the temple prostitutes, but they were the male prostitutes. But that's too specific.
Plus, that's kind of allegorical, of like idolatry, you know?
Yeah, it's you being mixed with other forms of thought. It's fundamentally what it is. It's like the whole thing about dogs in that era was, if one dog barked, then all the dogs barked, and so that was a, as you said, a parable or a type. A believer trying to be popular. He would bark and say something that everybody else would like, and therefore he was a dog spiritually, because he sang something to benefit you or me, to benefit man, and then everybody else agrees with it. So all the dogs bark. It's probably much more than that, but that's the first interpretation. And beware of evil workers, obviously, as self-seekers. But beware of the concision.
What is that?
The concision is those who... Well, the most extreme is today in a sect of Islam, they take barbed wire and beat themselves during a certain period during the year. But at this time, the concision was that included, it included what I want to do. I would love to just go live in a cave out in the desert somewhere, not have anything to do with, well, that's concision, because it's me doing something that wouldn't benefit the church. The whole idea of monasteries is a relatively new idea in Christianity. Not new in, no, it's 900 years or more. But the idea at the time, or shortly after the death, many believers went out into the desert and lived this life of, you know, as we know, we have, there's all kinds of them today, where you go out and be alone with like-minded believers. Well, in spiritually, that's like being one of the concision, or the, because you are, you think you're doing the right thing for God by being out and alone, but the call of God is to be involved and share this mystery with everybody in your world. In your world. So all these things are different types of what it means to lessen the impact of the cross. All right? For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof I might, he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. He's talking about his worthiness. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But we, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That's the predicate of every believer. Anything that's a gain to you, or should be the predicate, anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Anybody understand that? How much of your effort, time, is spent finding a gain for you and yours? Anyway, these are the issues. It goes on. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, it takes no talent to lose all things. I mean, but to count the loss of all things, to count that as dung, is that's pretty strong. That's strong meat. And be found of him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And this is the one that gets you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. The word perfect it's a word that means fully tested. It's teleos. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or on the way to being tested, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. I'll give breath or importance. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, if there's ever been a warning that should be considered, is that one. Don't be led by your ideas or your appetites. You'll always be wrong. All right, that was a total departure from what I was going to study. So be it. Anybody have any response, any questions, any reaction? Take it, big guy.